Hello, all my beautiful people. It is time once again for another amazing episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast. So this week I have with me a wrestler out of the Texas area who has also done some work in the Northwest Arkansas area up around here where I'm at. And so I am glad that I was able to get him on today. We talk about different places that he's wrestled, different things that he's done, and we actually got to talking so much I didn't even get through all of the questions that I normally do with my guests. So I will be having him come back to talk with me again. I had a really good time talking with him, and I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode a lot. And the guy that I'm talking about is Nathaniel Grayson. He is part of the Grayson family, and you'll hear us talk about that a little bit. For those of you who are here just to listen to the Nathaniel Grayson episode, welcome. I hope that you enjoy what you hear, and I hope that you stick around and listen to some of the other great episodes that we have here as well. So, if you're as excited as I am, then let's get this show on the road.
If You Give a Dad a Podcast. Hey, Dad.
So where did you actually train at?
I made a really good career out of being able to bump, sell, and I had a punch me face.
I wasn't about to call you dad, so.
Seriously?
I felt like I was in an anime or something.
People get really mad at those videos for some reason. Like, it triggers
really?
Certain people. Yeah.
Bloop. Wow.
I was actually lost as an infant, and I was taken in by a traveling group of independent wrestlers.
I love it. I'm excited for this one.
Bro.
Get punched in the face on the daily. Do you always do these interviews with your shirt off?
What?
Man, this guy won't shut up.
All right, everybody. So today I have with me a Texas-based wrestler. It's a guy that I kind of had seen some little videos for and everything with Ozark Mountain Wrestling and everything. And we became friends on Twitter, started talking a little bit. And so I was able to kind of get him to come on here and everything. I'm very excited to have him. He is a former pound-for-pound champion at Dog Pound Championship Wrestling. And like I said, he has been part of the Ozark Mountain Wrestling as well, which is in my neck of the woods. And he's also part of the Grayson family. And I have on Nathaniel Grayson today. Man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It brings a giant smile to my face to hear the proper recognition of myself as the former pound-for-pound champion. So I thank you very much, Jared. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, I try to do my research on the people who are coming on to my show and everything, and I haven't actually got to see you wrestle yet. I hope to do that soon. I know that you do some work in this area as well. Texas is a little bit of a drive for me, which you know from driving all the way up here. So
Texas is a drive for anybody who's even in Texas.
That is true. I have a buddy who lives in, he did live in Texarkana. And one year I just took a drive down there. I just took a weekend and just drove by myself down there to see him. And it felt like it took forever.
That's about how it feels driving from one end of the state to the other end of the state. And I've done all four ends of the state, north, south, east, and west.
Oh, good Lord. You got to have plenty to keep yourself occupied, I'm guessing, doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, so growing up, my family, we moved from Houston to San Antonio when I was about 10 years old. And
okay.
My mom and my dad's family still lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. So for, I don't even know how many years, I mean, pretty much my entire life, I've been driving nonstop back and forth from Houston to San Antonio. So getting in the car and driving is not something that I'm like ever opposed to doing. I'm always up for a good drive.
Well, I guess being a wrestler, that kind of works out then, right?
Oh yeah. The first time that I took a road trip with our Dog Pound family, mm-hmm. we went out to Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
And I think that's like a 17-hour drive.
Oh,
and
wow.
After about the first, and so after being in the back seat crammed in between like two other dudes for about an hour and a half, 2 hours,
uh-huh.
I was like, hey man, if you don't want to drive, I'd be more than happy to drive. And I think that was the last Dog Pound trip that anybody besides me ever drove.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when it comes to the dog pound, I'm kind of just the designated driver at all times.
It works out good that way. I'm the same way with my job. Sometimes I have to train the new people and things like that. And usually, like whenever I was trained, they had me drive. But when I'm training them, mm-hmm. I don't let them drive. I have to do it. I have to be the one driving. I'm the same way. My wife never drives anymore unless she's driving herself to work, you know, because I get car sick really easy unless I'm behind the wheel.
You see, and people ask me a lot if I get car sick, like if I'm not driving, and I mm-hmm. don't. I just don't trust anybody else to drive.
Yeah.
If we're going to die on the interstate in the middle of like nowhere,
yeah.
I'm going to be the one behind the wheel so that when I have to look at whoever I have to look at in the afterlife, uh-huh. I can be like, nah, that one was me, guys. it'll be my fault is the bottom line, is that if I'm going, it's by my hands.
Right on. Yeah. I totally get that. So I didn't know that Dog Pound actually went to the Memphis area and everything. That's kind of my neck of the woods. That's where I grew up at, in a little town called Marion. That's right outside of Memphis on the Arkansas side.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We drive through there. So we, Rodney Mack, who is obviously the head trainer and the owner of Dog Pound Championship Wrestling and the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
He has a company in Memphis. They're called Velocity Championship Action.
Okay.
And so they record in their own TV studio every Friday night, I believe. And they are on Channel 3 in Memphis every Saturday. And so for a little while there, once a month, we were making group road trips down to Memphis to go wrestle for VCA.
Oh, wow.
And as the group got bigger and more guys got to the level of travel, those trips kind of slowly but surely faded out just because mm-hmm. everyone was taking their own bookings and whatnot. But I do believe that the Dog Pound is heading back to Memphis in the beginning of February.
Oh,
I think February, I think like February, the first weekend of February, I think Rodney Mack, and I think it's like two or three carfuls of Dog Pound guys are all heading out to Memphis, Tennessee to go wrestle for Velocity Championship Action.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. It's good that you guys are able to do that and do the kind of the traveling scene and everything like that.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that was kind of one of the big things that Rodney Mack introduced me to when I joined the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been there for more than, my gosh, 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just had our first show here in San Antonio. And then like the next training day, Rodney Mack was like, "Hey, you want to come with us to Memphis?" And I was like, yeah, sure. Memphis. Yeah. When? And he's like, "We're leaving on Thursday."
Oh, wow.
I'm like, "Oh, you mean like
now,
like you mean we're leaving this week." And so I shuffled some things around in my personal life. That mm-hmm. was before my son was born. So things were a lot easier to yep. just kind of drop and go at a dime's yep. notice.
Mm-hmm. I know that one.
So now. Yeah. So now that Leonardo's here, it's like things have to be a little bit more planned out for me to go on such a trip, because it's a trip. It's a journey. That's like a whole four. You leave on Thursday, and if we're lucky, we get back Sunday night if we weren't booked out already for the weekend.
Okay. So you said Leonardo. Did you name your son after the Ninja yes. Turtles? You did.
Okay, so here's a funny story that his mother hates.
Okay.
So so we're driving in the car, and you know, we had just recently found out it was going to be a boy,
mm-hmm.
and we're going through names, right? Because there's no name that is like, neither one of us had like a, "Oh, if it's a boy, I want it to be this name." And like, we weren't like dead set on a name. And so we started going through all the names. I mean, every name you could think of. And she is shooting me down on everything. And I'm out of names. Like, I Googled the 100 best boy names, and like, I mean, she shot down every single one of them. Uh-huh. So I legitimately started going through like Saturday morning Fox cartoons. And I was like, dude, I made it through the X-Men.
Yeah.
I made it through Batman.
Oh,
I made
wow.
it through Spider-Man. I made it through the Power Rangers. And then finally, I did end up at the Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. And Raphael made her stop. But she still said no. She, like, you know, everything else was like, oh, Michelangelo, no.
Yeah.
Bruce, no. Dick, no. But then I was like, Raphael. And she goes, no. And I was like, oh, we're on to something.
Yep.
We're on to something. Splinter. No, that's dumb. That's dumb. Leonardo. And Leonardo got her to stop and go, yeah, what about Leonardo? So if that's the true, honest story. But anytime somebody asks me, like, oh, did you name him after the painter? Oh, did you name him after the actor? It's just yes. Whatever, whatever you, whatever the first Leonardo that came to your mind is, that's the correct answer. But in reality, it was the Ninja Turtle.
That's cool. That's cool. I was a big Ninja Turtle fan, so that's immediately where my brain goes.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm, dude. I went through like Tommy, Zach, Billy, Jason. I went through all the Power Rangers, and she shot down everything, man. She shot down it. But no, so Leonardo is definitely he's the coolest little dude so far.
That's awesome. Being a parent is, you know, they say it's the, you know, the greatest gift, and you really don't understand that until you actually are a dad, you know, and I couldn't replace the way it makes me feel.
No, not for anything in the world.
Yeah.
These past nine, I think it's been about 9 weeks since I've been down.
Mm-hmm.
These past 9 weeks have just been like amazing, you know, even though like being injured and having to rehab, like that part has sucked. But having an excuse to not go anywhere for 9 weeks and just hang out here at home with my kid, like, oh man, it's been too cool. I've just to see him progress from not even being able to roll over mm-hmm. to now here we are at the very end of everything. And he's like almost crawling. Like,
oh, wow.
Every day is going to, yeah. Like every day I wake up, it's like, is today going to be the day that he finally crawls? for a while, the running joke in the house was who's going to be walking first, Leonardo or Daddy?
Oh, that's great. So we're going to kind of just jump into everything, you know, because I do want to talk about your career in wrestling. And so I kind of just going to start at the beginning. And what made you decide to get into wrestling?
Oh man, this has been a lifelong obsession, a lifelong uh-huh. love. And I know that everybody says it because it's 9 times out of 10, it's always true.
Right. It has to be.
Yeah. So when I was about 8 or 9, the WWF, that's right, I dated myself, guys, the WWF.
That's right.
they were running a show in Houston at the old Coliseum. WWF No Way Out of Texas.
Mm.
This is right before WrestleMania 14. Mm-hmm. So Stone Cold is like the hottest thing in the world. And my dad was able to like get us tickets to that. And that was like, that's the first cognitive memory of, oh my God, wrestling. Like, I mean, Kane and Vader fought on that show.
Yeah.
And as an 8-year-old kid, like Kane absolutely terrified me. And then like the next night on Raw, I find out he has a brother, the yep. Undertaker. And
yep.
Oh yeah, no, it, and then there's this badass from Texas. That's just, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hooked.
It'll definitely do it for you. The Attitude Era was so cool. You know, I started, I guess, a little earlier, and my start was WCW with like the Steiner brothers, you know, and but it was my uncle was already in wrestling. He was younger and stuff. I actually remember him graduating high school. So my mom is from a family of like 10 kids. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I kind of grew up with him being like, you know, he was the cool uncle who, you know, he was the one who got me into drinking sweet tea, you know? So, cause my mom and dad, they don't like tea. So it was just, you know, little things, but he got me into wrestling, got me into the Steiner brothers and stuff like that. But what really brought it in is, like you said, Attitude Era was such an exciting time in wrestling that you were hooked. Even if you didn't watch on a regular basis, you knew everything about what was going on because the product was so hot.
Oh yeah. I mean, and people nowadays that didn't live through it mm-hmm. will never fully understand it. Like right. I was just telling Jazz last week that it used to be commonplace at birthday parties growing up that we would all like stay up as late as possible because if we could make it to 2 a.m., uh-huh. ECW came on channel 39 at 2 a.m.
That's cool.
And yeah. like that was the wrestling that you couldn't let your parents know that you were watching on Saturday night.
Right.
You know, they were cool. Yeah. They were cool with you watching WCW Saturday night. They didn't care about WWF Jacked or whatever, mm-hmm. but my parents knew, and so did all my friends' parents. They knew that ECW was the extreme stuff. That was the real adult stuff. And then, mm-hmm. you know, that was like the big thing growing up was like, oh, we're going to stay up tonight and watch ECW. So being a part of the business, was something that I honestly tried to fight for a long time mm-hmm. throughout my entire 20s. Like I graduated high school and I immediately jumped right into the workforce because I'd convinced myself that like there's no way I could ever be a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Like I don't all those just negative thoughts that one has about themselves. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm not enough this,
right,
I'm too much of that.
Yep.
And then of course being young and dumb and you know wanting to live in that moment right then and there, because as at 19 years old being a wrestler sounds really freaking cool,
mm-hmm.
but it also sounds like a lot of hard work. And you know what's not a lot of hard work is getting the guys at work that are over 21 to buy me a bottle and then inviting all these chicks over and trying to get laid. Like that doesn't sound like too much hard work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get that.
And so just choosing to do that instead mm-hmm. of really focusing on what I wanted to really do with my life. Mm-hmm. And that really put a gap in like my journey. And that is really a lot of the reason of why I started my journey so late.
Yeah.
I didn't seriously start training to be a wrestler until I was about 28.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I was married. I had a career in the wedding mm-hmm. industry.
Oh,
and
wow.
we had just gotten back from a cruise from Jamaica, and we were sitting over at dinner and we were like discussing what we were going to do with these casino winnings that we had won on the boat. You know, like we had actually made out of Jamaica pretty good. and so the topic of conversation came up of, well, what if we invested in buying a house?
Okay.
And at that dinner table, I looked at my wife and was like, if we buy a house, that eliminates any possibility of me ever trying to become a professional wrestler, because now we have a mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. And once we have a mortgage payment on a two bedroom, whatever house, like kids are coming next.
Right.
You know, like we're settled. That's you yep. buy a house, man. That's the settle down.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Especially when you're in the position of like, you're planning on financing all of this through the career that you currently have.
Yes.
And so to sit there and get into a 30 year investment, a 30 year loan, mm-hmm. if you're lucky, and then like you're banking on that 30 year loan of paying on it with that job that you have. And so just like literally right there at that dinner table, I was like, yeah, if we buy a house, I can never be a professional wrestler. And that's when my ex-wife kind of slapped me across the face verbally and was like, well, are you ever going to actually try?
Oh, wow.
It was like, Yeah, it was like, oh, okay. Okay, then, yeah. And so we took a portion of that win of those winnings, and we went to wrestling. We started at a professional wrestling training facility.
Okay.
And I trained there for a little bit. COVID hit very shortly after. Yeah. I mean, and so that put a damper in, you know, that whole like beginning half of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually where I met Rodney Mack and Jazz. They were instructors at that training facility. And then COVID hit, everything shut down. And then when everything opened back up, Rodney Mack and Jazz had decided to go out on their own and open up the dog pound.
Okay.
And so I stayed over at that other training facility for a little bit, longer, I think the rest of 2020 and then into like the first half of 2021. And then things weren't really working out then. I'd gone through some personal stuff. The wife became the ex-wife. The career in the wedding field became, you know, not the, the former career in the wedding field.
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it was, it just, everything in 2021 was just kind of like change, you know? The winds mm-hmm. of, as the Scorpion said, man, the winds of change were coming.
Yeah.
And so one of my friends that was at that training facility had actually switched over to Dog Pound, and I had been in contact with him for a little bit, and he, you know, convinced me that, you know, come over and see what it's about. And from the moment that I stepped into the door at the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo, it was just like, no, this is where I belong. This is right for me. And it had nothing to do with like any personal animosity, or there was no like incident at the other training facility. It was just really a difference in teaching style, like the way that Rodney Mack and Jazz teach their students was more inept, and I was able to adapt to that teaching style a lot better.
Yeah, you've got to go with what works best for you.
Back. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you started wrestling with Rodney Mack, and like I said, you have to go with what it works best for you in anything in life, you know, and people understand that, you know, sometimes they don't, sometimes they get butt hurt over things like that. But, you know, there are times where you have to be like, hey, this is what I have to do. What's best for me. And what is it like working with Rodney Mack?
Oh, my goodness. I can't verbalize it without blowing out the speakers, but if you can just close your eyes and imagine the word intense in all caps, all bold, 72 point font, like intense.
All right.
But working with Rodney and working under Rodney has been one of the biggest blessings in my life, and definitely the biggest blessing in my career so far.
Mm-hmm.
Just the knowledge that comes from both Rodney Mack and Jazz from every aspect of this industry, whether that be in the ring, out of the ring, on camera, off camera, the amount of knowledge that I have been given by Rodney Mack and Jazz is just immaculate.
That's what you want. You know, if you're going to go do this, you want somebody who's going to be able to give you that wealth of knowledge like that.
Yeah. And not only just the wealth of knowledge, but then being willing to dedicate the time and the personal one-on-one to really get to know their students, you know. I use particular vocabulary when I describe the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo because it really is much more than just a professional wrestling school of, oh, hey, go learn how to bump, go learn how to run the ropes. Like, they're really teaching us every aspect of this business that not a lot of people have the ability to. You know, you're talking about two people that have made it all the way to the top.
Right.
I mean, Jazz is Jazz is so criminally underrated and so deserving of every accolade that she gets and accolades that she hasn't gotten yet that I believe that she will get one day.
Yes. Is she in the Hall of Fame
Rodney
yet?
Mack no, no, that's she exactly isn't? What I'm talking about. She okay. is not in that Hall of Fame.
That's a shame. She should be.
And I'm, it's a crying shame, really. Mm-hmm. When you look at the time period that she was in the WWE, yep. the what she accomplished and who she accomplished it with in the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, it's asinine that she's not. But then you have Rodney Mack, mm-hmm. who is even more criminally underrated than Jazz is.
Yeah.
Because what most people don't realize is that Rodney Mack was a part of that same O2 class down in OVW, working alongside with John Cena, Batista, oh, wow. Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton. And Rodney Mack is the most experienced of those guys at that time. So it's literally Rodney Mack who is showing John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, all these guys like the finer points of what we do in this industry.
Wow.
So yeah, that's something that not a lot of people like really think about, but like that's where Rodney Mack was mm-hmm. around that time. And that's the people that he was a helping hand in crafting into people who all became mega superstars.
Yes.
And so just being around that, it's like there's a lesson in almost every sentence that they say.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, that is a star-studded class that he was a part of. Wow. You know, putting that into perspective, you know, that he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
You don't know how to put it in words.
The way that I kind of, because my dad, obviously me and my dad are still very, very close, and he's so very invested and interested in my whole career. Mm-hmm. And so we talk a lot about things, and my dad is the one that actually had the best, like kind of analogy. Uh-huh. He was like, you know, there's that show Young Rock on Peacock and NBC. Mm-hmm. And they kind of go into depth about his college football career and about how, hey man, he was a really good football player,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't better than Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't better than Michael Irvin. And so that's kind of like, that's Rodney Mack right there is yeah. like, and I'm not saying that he's not as good as those guys, but when you're in a class of the top 1%, you know, only 1% of the 1% can be the 1%.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, just the way that they're willing to take everybody under any situation mm-hmm. and really find what they're good at and put them in that position to succeed, I think is what makes them different from every other trainer that could be out there right now. At least specifically here in our area. I don't think that you get anywhere better than the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo with Rodney Mack and Jazz.
Yeah. It sounds great, you know, and I've seen, you know, videos with him, and I've got to see a few stuff that I found online. And it just makes me want to drive down there so I can watch something in person, you know, because I would love to see firsthand how that goes with him, you know?
Well, you know, everybody's got their good and their bad days. And right. so there could be one day that you come in and you're like, oh my God, that is the Red Dog Rodney Mack that was slapping white boys on Monday Night Raw for an entire summer. Holy crap. But then there's these other days that you could come in and it's like, oh my gosh, he's Mr. Miyagi.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wax on, wax off. Holy crap.
Right. That's cool.
And yeah. And then just the way that everybody down here progresses is yes. just so amazing, because he can, both of them are really good at isolating what a particular individual really needs to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And then providing them with the knowledge and the tools and the resources to actually improve on it.
Like I've said already, you know, that's what you want in a trainer. You know, you want somebody who's going to be able to give you all of the tools, not just some of them.
Right.
So I do kind of want to get into a little bit more of your character and things like that. And I know that you're part of the Grayson family. Can you kind of tell me how the Grayson family was started, how that gimmick all came about?
Well, so the Grayson family is, of course, myself, Nathaniel Grayson, mm-hmm. alongside my brother in spirit, Xander Grayson, Father mm-hmm. Grayson, as we call him sometimes. And then we also have our family pet, Joey Carver.
Okay.
And we have as any family, we are a big, wide and dysfunctional family. And you never know when a special cousin or second cousin or friend of the family, like we have with Kurt Castle up in Ozark Mountain Wrestling. Uh-huh. You never know when we'll have to call in a friend of the family or an extended family member to help things out when things get a little rough.
Yeah.
But so the creation of the Grayson, me and Xander Grayson, Father Grayson, we go way back before this journey ever started. We were kind of both lost kindred spirits, you know, in the same circle with each other.
Okay.
And as I began my early career, I found a lot of hardship. I was on the losing end of quite a few encounters, and it looked like I had kind of hit rock bottom for a second. And I was eating boogeyman's worms.
Oh,
that's where I was.
All right.
Right. I was literally buried with the boogeyman's worms.
Oh, wow.
And it looked like as quick and as hot and as exciting as the start of my career had begun. Mm-hmm. It looked like, okay, well, this was it. I just challenged for the pound for pound title. I lost. I almost got a concussion. And now the boogeyman is out here and I'm about to pee my pants. And so, unbeknownst to me at the time, Father Grayson was watching from the distance. And right around that time that he saw that I was having some trouble with Haas Holding and with the boogeyman, mm-hmm. that's when he decided that maybe a little spiritual guidance was needed. And that's kind of how we really became, you know, a family unit here and now everywhere in the professional wrestling industry, was that I needed some spiritual guidance and a spiritual leader to kind of show me what I was doing wrong, the errors of my ways. And since hooking up and really listening and following the guide of Xander Grayson, I've found success. And we as a family have begun to find success. And so with success comes detractors and comes enemies. And for us, it's unfortunate because we're not bad guys. Like,
right.
You know, Jared, we're not bad people.
Right.
We just have a certain set of beliefs, and we believe in helping others enlighten themselves to a higher level of professionalism, of excellency. And by living through the Grayson family creed of family, strength, and power, we believe that any individual can become a champion.
Okay.
It's just sad that there are people out there that rebuke our message,
mm-hmm.
that refuse to listen to us, that call us names like I've heard the word cult a lot. And that's it's the furthest thing from the truth. We're not trying to poison the Kool-Aid. We're not trying to get you to go stab Sharon Tate. You know, we're an open family that is accepting of most people.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that I would say we don't fully, you know, open our arms to are those that actively and opinionatedly oppose us. And, you know, just like any person or family, if somebody was throwing rocks at your house, Jared, you would feel the need to, you know,
protect your family,
take them behind your, yeah, you would feel the need to take them behind your house and maybe make them scream a little bit so that they don't come throwing rocks anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that makes sense.
That doesn't make us, but that doesn't make us bad guys, Jared. Like,
right.
I'm a bad guy, but I'm not a bad guy.
So is Xander an in-ring performer as well, or is he more of a managerial role in the family?
Xander Grayson is our head of the family. Okay. You know, some people in the wrestling industry like to call the head of the table. If you so, you know, if you so will, but Father Grayson doesn't need to get his hands dirty.
Right.
Between myself and Joey Carver, the family pet, he's got other things to worry about.
Yeah. So I kind of want to jump over on this. There's something that came about that I actually had to send you a message on, and it has to do with Xander. A few months ago, I follow Xander on Instagram, and I started getting these messages, and it was him saying, "Hey, I want you to help me advertise for an event that's coming up, you know?" And he was like, "I'll pay you all this money for it," and stuff like that. And it kind of sounded weird at first, but I wasn't sure because I didn't really know him that well. So I was like, okay. Right. So, you know, I started talking to him, and the more I talked, the weirder it sounded. So I reached out to you, and I was like, "Hey, did he get hacked or something?" Long story short, he did. He got hacked on Instagram, and so I was talking to some hacker trying to get my information. You know,
yeah, and
I had no idea.
And how could you? I mean, the funniest part about that, it's twofolded. Okay, uh-huh. So it's twofolded. The first part is that Xander Grayson and the entire nobody in the Grayson family would ever reach out to anybody for any type of money or right. help or advertisement and we have those things. We're a big family, okay?
Right. Yeah,
we've got lawyers, we've got PR people, we've got all that covered. So that should but you don't know him, so you would never know that that's the first like, hey, wait, what's going on?
Right, right.
But the second fold of that, which is the more funny part, is that he had he had messaged me a screenshot maybe two or three nights before you had messaged me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a screenshot of his Xander Grayson account messaging his shoot account. And he's like, "I'm asking myself for money, what?" And so we were able to have a really good laugh when you reached out. I was like, "Bro, you need to get your Instagram stuff under control, man. Because you are not reaching out to people that you don't need to be reaching out to."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This whoever this was, they were like, "I can give you $200 to $300, you know, per every time that it's played on your show," and all this different stuff. And I was like, "Oh, okay." You know, it just seemed like an exorbitant amount of money. And one time they actually sent me a screenshot of money that was transferred. I saw it and then it disappeared. And he's like, "Sorry, I didn't mean to send that to you." I was like, "Okay." So it was very strange. It was, yeah. You never know what you're going to run across. As I've done this show, I get on the daily, I probably get 3-4 messages a day about somebody saying that they want to promote my podcast on on iTunes or all these other things, you know. And there's a few times where I've messed with them, you know, and I'll be like, "Oh, well, tell me some of the people that you've worked with." They can't tell you, you know, they just beat around the bush, you know. And I had fun with one of them one time, and I actually gave him the name. I called him Mr. Scammer Man from Scammingville or something like that. And I kept calling him that. And he was like, stop calling me that. So sometimes you got to have fun with them.
Oh, yeah. No, I get these wonderful messages from these clearly fake accounts that are like, hey, I'm looking for a sugar baby and I'm trying to spoil you. And you can just, you know, all you have to do is give me this and this. And I'm like, okay, well, block.
Yeah.
No, I've had some fun. I've had some fun with a few.
Right.
I've had my fair share of fun with more than a few scammers. Don't ever let me catch a scammer giving out a phone number, because I will download text now or WhatsApp or whatever. I'll get me a fake phone number too, and we can play a game. especially being down with an injury, I have nothing but time.
So I did want to ask you about that, though. How did you get injured?
Halloween night. Halloween night, we were wrestling in Laredo. And it was towards the, it was literally the last move of the match. I was doing a moonsault, which I had done multiple times before in the past. You know, it was literally not like just routine. Just, okay, yeah. I dropped you with this and I'm gonna hit you with the moonsault and 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
As I was in midair, and this is, I'm sorry for the people that don't like the inside baseball talk, but we're gonna talk a little inside baseball right here.
That's totally fine.
As I was in midair, it looked like my knee was gonna come down right on my opponent's head.
And
the number one of my number one things in the ring is taking care of who I'm in the ring there with,
right?
And coming down from that high up that fast, and then it's gonna be like the ball of my knee right in his face. I adjusted my flight. I adjusted my landing. And so I landed on one foot and one knee.
Okay.
And so my right kneecap actually went a full 90 degrees to the right. My leg was actually in the shape of an S.
Oh, man.
And this is Halloween night.
Yeah.
And so we had to, they tried to get me out of the ring, like, by themselves, and we could not. Like, I couldn't move. They had to call an ambulance and, you know, take me to the hospital. And they had to put me under anesthesia and pop my knee back in. And I was super, super, super lucky that there were no rips, no tears, no fractures, no breaks. It just popped all the way out.
Wow. That sounds extremely painful.
It was by far the second scariest thing to happen to me last year. The first one was obviously when I'm at work and my baby mama calls and says, hey, it's happening.
That was the most
terrifying thing that happened.
I get that.
But number two is right there, right underneath it. Just the actual. So there's a great video of it, because that particular promotion videos all their matches. And on the video, I come down, you know, scream, oh, F-bomb, my knee, my effing knee. And then right after that, like, you can just hear in my voice, like, Darth Vader, like, no! Like, voice cracking, like, just these two big, long, no. Because I had a lot of really great opportunities set up for the end of last year and then again at the beginning of this year, I had some really, really big opportunities that, as I'm looking at my knee in an S, I realize are no longer happening.
Man, that's got to be heartbreaking. I understand the no there with that. So how much longer do you have for recovery?
So it's actually, it's happenstance that we're doing this interview today because last night was the very first night that I was able to get back into a wrestling ring and get a little physical and really, really kind of start seeing the end of the tunnel for this injury and this, and, you know, kind of on the road to recovery and on the road to return. And if everything keeps on going the way that it has been going, and God willing, there is no further setbacks, I'm looking at making a full return and recovery to the ring on February 25th.
All right. That's awesome.
Yes. I believe it is in Humble, Texas, for 360 Pro Wrestling. I believe that there is a Rumble type of ordeal for I believe it's the Central Texas Championship. And so long as everything is healed and we're moving all good, I do believe that Nathaniel Grayson will be present and active in that Rumble.
Right on, man. I'm glad to hear that you're recovering well and that you're able to get back in the ring and start getting some of the, I guess you could say, ring rust off from being on the injury, because you don't get to run the ropes and things like that. And I know that it is a cardiac madhouse doing wrestling, because you're constantly moving. There's no really rest time in a wrestling match. And
not
so,
if you do it right.
Right. Yeah. So being able to get back in the ring and stuff and get some of that ring rust off, I bet I bet you're glad to be able to do that now.
Yeah. I mean, it has really, while most guys with that type of injury, like, I mean, they told me 6 weeks of bed rest. Don't move. Yeah. Don't get out of bed.
Oh, wow.
And I think, so let's see, it happened on like Halloween. And then I think like a week and a half later, I was actually at another show, you know, crutches and all, trying to help set up the ring, help setting up the sound. since the injury, I think I've run sound and kind of like a executive director position at more than a few shows.
That's cool.
You know, just trying to, there was no way I was staying in bed for 6 weeks plus.
Right.
Because the 6 weeks was for the knee to actually like reattach itself to everything. And now we're in the position of we need to rebuild the muscle.
Right. Yeah.
And I was content for a little bit. It really wasn't bothering me because I was taking a lot of joy in seeing my boy grow up, spending time at home, spending time with her, you know, just really kind of milking it, and not even milking it, but just enjoying it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
And so through that, it was very easy to not think of, you know, all the stuff that I was missing or that I was going to miss. Right. Because some of those opportunities were, you know, opportunities that a lot of guys would probably kill for, you know? And so being home for the holidays and all that, that was able to take a lot of the sting off of it.
Yeah.
Of being injured. But then once the new year kind of came around, you know, the holidays are gone. You know, Thanksgiving's gone, Christmas is gone, New Year's is gone.
Yep.
And now all we have is this new year. And you start seeing everybody, oh, this is what my schedule looks like right now. This is what my schedule looks like right now. And here I was that, like, on Halloween night, I was literally talking to like two or three different new promoters for 2023, trying to get the Grayson family message out even further.
Right.
And now I'm having to tell these promoters, well, what we thought was going to be maybe February or March might have just turned into May or June.
Yeah.
And so now being able to get back into the ring after being at a couple of shows this past weekend and seeing everybody getting back to work, it was good for the soul, man. Like it was really good for the soul to get back in there and start getting back to doing what I love doing.
It's good. And the thing is that itch never goes away. You know, you were able to, you had your family and things like that, but you still said that you did like production and you, the sound and things like that. When you have it in your blood, the way you do, it never really goes away. And you still want to be a part of that world in any way that you can.
Oh yeah. I mean, being down and injured and only having, you know, what I could do, you know, I really, I took a deep dive into one of my past hobbies. It's so funny. You and me were talking about hobbies earlier.
Yeah.
One of the things that I loved doing growing up was putting together like highlight clips and music videos and just video production in general.
Okay.
And so, through my time injured, I actually put together the three episodes of the Dog Pound Championship Wrestling End of the Year Review.
Okay.
And so I put all of that together from scratch.
Uh-huh.
And then I also teamed up with another one of our wrestlers here at Dog Pound, Soda Pop Hendrix. And him and I have actually been producing weekly episodes of what we call Paradox Rewind on Dog Pound Championship Wrestling's YouTube page. And that's kind of where we go take a look back at some of the matches in the past of Dog Pound Championship Wrestling and present these matches out to the public for people to see that before we did this, the only way you could have seen these matches was if you were there. And right. Now it's like being able to put together this whole thing from scratch with Soda. And then get that out to the public to hopefully, you know, help some, not only just help some of the guys on the show get, you know, more exposure and get their name out there, but then also getting the Dog Pound out there. You know, right. We're still the Dog Pound as a company, as a promotion, and as a dojo are still in the infancy growing stages. And so we're trying to do our part in making our company that we represent as big as possible. And so being able to have the time, I would have never found the time to actually do this, you know, do this type of video work, had I not been injured.
Yeah. So do you do all the videos for the Grayson family promos and stuff?
Xander and I both do.
Okay.
We both run, as far as the Grayson family, we both run, the promos. Really kind of depends on who has an idea.
Right.
You know, if he has an idea, it's like, okay, man, you run with it. Like you put it together and we have this process of one puts it together and then the other one kind of edits behind it. So we call it like crossing T's and dotting I's.
I got
maybe
you.
Maybe the sound was off a little bit here, or maybe it needed a little extra there. That's kind of where we, me and him play off. But me and him doing our promos is actually what set the whole, we should start taping and producing and sending out our Dog Pound matches. That's kind of what started the whole ball.
Okay.
Was our promos of, oh, because everybody was doing the same generic kind of promo, you know?
Right.
And that's the last thing that I want to do is be anything close to anybody else.
Yeah.
And so Xander was pretty new to the Dog Pound at that time. And we were just like, how do we stand out? How do we get your character to stand out from everybody else's character? Mm-hmm. And then how do we get my character, which was a completely different character? How do we get that to tie into your character? And so the way that we kind of came up with it was, well, we can't do this in a conventional wrestling promo. This needs to be something more
more of what you would see on TV, right. More of a, you know, an Undertaker Kane type of, oh, yes. This is a story.
Yeah.
And so through that, that's kind of how the Dog Pound ended up with the, well, let's do this for like everything. And yeah. So we're super DIY. Just, I mean, we got iPhones and we got, you know, tripods.
Yeah.
and whoever is not booked that night, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the card's full, but you're here.
Right.
We need a camera operator tonight. You know?
Yeah.
Here you go, dude. You want to help out the show? You want to be a part of the show? This is a very big part of the show.
Yeah.
And so the way that it all kind of operates is just so cool, because Rodney Mack and Jazz have given us so much trust to put their product out there.
That says a lot for you guys as well. It's a compliment, you know, that they're trusting you to do that. They obviously like the product that they're seeing from you.
Could you imagine what this conversation would look like if they did it, man? Like, completely, dude, I'd be different. Like, oh, bro. I'd be like, bro, can we not talk about this at all?
Yeah. The end of the show. Hey, can you cut that part out, please? You
know? Right. But no, to me, that's been some of the coolest stuff is just like recently, you know, when we submitted that first episode to Jazz, it was like both me and Soda were texting each other almost all night. Dude, did she text you? No. Did she text you yet? No. No. Well, let me know when she texts you, man, because we got to know how we're doing here.
Right.
And she texted us back and gave us a thumbs up. And it was so very just rewarding of like, oh, man, she likes it. And then she like went through class and was like telling people in the class, like, have you watched this yet? Why haven't you watched this? Y'all need to go watch this. This is like great stuff. This is a great product.
Yeah.
So it's all been very rewarding, but none of it could have been done without them in the beginning, with, you know, from the first place. Have they not taught us what they've taught us and then instilled in us what they've instilled in us? There's just, we'd be lost without a cause,
right.
But they have really, they've taken the time, especially for guys like me, and guys like Soda, who in the beginning were always and still are to this day very willing to jump in the car with them and then just like listen.
Yeah.
And so that's an education that a lot of guys, a lot of workers aren't getting these days. And if you listen to some of the vets talk about it, you know, like that's how they learned back in the day, was get in the car and mm-hmm. go drive from town to town with a veteran and
pick their brain,
shut up and listen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those road trips with Rodney and Soda to Memphis in the beginning were so instrumental,
right.
Just because the hours and hours and hours that you can talk to somebody like Rodney Mack and pick up what he's putting down and then have the opportunity to be like, wait, I'm missing the point on this one. Explain it to me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, through those processes becomes the trust, becomes yeah. the knowledge. And, you know, then you prove yourself through your actions later on. And it just reaffirms to them like, no, he got the message. He understands what I was telling him. And we're good to just let him do his own thing, you know, because it's always going to fall back in line with something that Rodney or Jazz kind of instructed us or pushed us into that direction.
Yeah. So I had Ivan Warsaw and Michael St. James on my podcast it was at the beginning of December is whenever they came. They actually came to my house and recorded with me.
You had that big, angry, smelly dude in your house?
I did. Yeah, it was
dude,
scary.
Did you have to disinfect when you were done?
So whenever they came over and I told them that I was going to be recording with you in like I'm doing now. And at first they brought up a name And I wanted to ask how you got this name. They called you Nasty Nate.
Oh, yeah.
How did you get that name?
Well, so that's a story from the dark times of before wrestling. But there was a time in my life in my early 20s where no was not in my vocabulary.
Oh, okay.
And I mean that for just about anything. And right. So that's kind of where in what most people would call their college days, except I was not in college.
Yeah.
That's where the Nate Nasty, Nasty Nate came in.
Okay.
And so once I decided to make the full, you know, join the business, and then I actually became an active worker, there there was never a question of what my name would be. That was Nate Nasty, Nasty Nate.
Mm-hmm.
And Warsaw, if you end up listening to this, I'm just kidding. You don't smell. You don't smell. Ivan Warsaw has really become one of my favorite people in the business, and he's become a really great mentor.
Yeah.
I mean, hours on the phone with him.
Yeah.
Just talking the business, talking life, getting advice, you know, situational stuff. I got nothing but love for the big mountain man and Ivan Warsaw.
Yeah. Yeah. They were both amazing guests, you know, having them over here recording with me. It was the first in-person recording that I've done. Besides, like, I've had a few friends that have come over here. I did an episode right before WrestleMania. We talked about our favorite WrestleMania moments and things like that. But besides that, they're the only ones that I've had at my house to record with. And it was so cool. You know, I found out that they were in the same area as me, and they're like, well, we'd love to do one in person. I was like, okay, let's do this, you know? And it was a good time. We had a really good time. We ended up, most of my episodes are about an hour long, and I ended up having to cut that into two episodes because
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story real quick.
That's dead on, man.
Oh man. Yeah. I might skip out on the next Ozark show because of that one. I'm just kidding, man. No, Ivan's he's a really good friend. His organization, Ozark Mountain Wrestling, has been nothing but great to us down here at the Dog Pound.
Mm-hmm.
One of our Dog Pound guys, the Midnight Special, is from the Arkansas area. He's really good friends with Ivan Warsaw and kind of was the bridge man in between, you know, making that association happen.
Right.
And ever since then, man, Ivan, really almost to everybody in the Dog Pound, he's like a second trainer. Mm. You know, when he has come down to San Antonio and spent a week here and literally like just got the keys to the dojo. Mm-hmm. And it was like every day we weren't training, you know, it was a 50-50 chance of, is Warsaw going to hit us up? Is Warsaw going to want to work out today? And anytime that I can sit around Ivan Warsaw and hear the big mountain man talk and spit his knowledge, man, that's just it's a blessing. And it's so crazy. I never used that word blessing before I became, you know, an active participant, an active worker in the wrestling industry. But that's really the only way that you can describe some of these things is like, it's an actual blessing.
Right. Yeah.
And man, I know that he's going to call me later when he hears this and be like, ah, come on, kid, you're killing the whole gimmick, man. Ah, but you know, like, I truly believe in giving the people that have helped me out the most their flowers along the way.
Right.
As much as that is so not with the character and not, that's just who I am as a human.
Yeah.
You know, I got nothing but love and respect for Ivan Warsaw, for Rodney Mack, for Jazz. I've got another mentor down here, Lieutenant Dan Martinez, the voice. He runs Laredo Wrestling Alliance down in South Texas.
Oh,
and he's been nothing but help and a wise word, an open ear. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot to be thankful for those four individuals specifically, for just really helping me guide through this crazy labyrinth that we call professional wrestling.
Yeah, that it's good, and I'm glad that you are able to have so many people to help you progress your career and things like that. So I've got a few more questions that I want to ask you before I get you off here, because we're kind of hitting that 1 hour mark that I try to bring it.
Oh,
to.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, man.
No, you are totally fine. I am enjoying this, and I've already realized I'm going to have to bring you back on, because we got through maybe about half of what I wanted to talk about on here, and that's totally fine. I love it, and we've had a great conversation. But I do want to ask you a few more things before I get you off of here. Just kind of some rapid fire questions here.
Okay.
Do you prefer to work heel or face?
Heel. Yeah, I've naturally, it's so crazy, but like when I was performing under Nate Nasty, I was having the cool heel effect.
Yeah.
You know, I'd come out with a cigarette. I'd come out, you know, just cursing out everybody, you know, smoking a whole ass cigarette on the way to the ring. And then I had this, one of my really good friends, is a rapper from the Austin area, and he made me this amazing custom theme song. And I mean, it was just, it was popping. It was lit, as the kids would say. And, we did a pop-up show in Port Lavaca, Texas. And when I came out, halfway through my entrance, and I'm supposed to be the heel, they're chanting Nate is Nasty.
That's cool.
And I looked over at Xander, and I'm like, this is not what we wanted at all. I thoroughly enjoy being a heel. I bottle up almost everything throughout the week before my matches. Mm-hmm. And man, I know that little kid didn't cut me off, but I sure do remember the lady that did. But yeah, no, definitely heel. Get to have a little bit more fun, a little bit more freedom, get to be a little bit more of a jackass.
Right.
Where you do sacrifice is the coolness factor.
Right.
You know, I don't believe that a heel... I'm certainly not a heel that is going to go up there and do a shooting star press or springboard, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I can't. It's because that kind of goes against the whole being a heel thing.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to outshine the face.
Yeah. And nobody wants to see, nobody thinks that when the Joker blows up the hospital, that wasn't cool.
Right.
Because that was freaking cool.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to think that it's cool.
Right.
But it was cool. And so, yeah, that's kind of I try to stay very, very based on that. You know, mm-hmm. I've changed gimmicks. I've changed music. I've changed gear. I've changed a lot of things to get away from the quote unquote cool heel bit.
I got you. So who would you say is your favorite wrestler of all times?
Oh, man. Of all time? I don't know if I could single it down to just one.
Okay. Give me your top three.
Oh, man. So top three, Stone Cold's always going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you always remember your first, right?
Right.
So Stone Cold's definitely in there. I probably have to put Shawn Michaels in that top three as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the one, here's your clickbait. All right. You ready?
All right.
The headline, the headline and the heat for me, but I'll say it. I'm always going to end up putting CM Punk on that top 3, 4, 5 list.
I got you.
Just cause CM Punk was the very first guy growing up that opened my eyes to the independent wrestling scene.
Yeah.
Him and AJ Styles. I saw AJ Styles on the very first episode of Impact. on Fox Sports Southwest at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. And I'll never forget, man, he does like a sunset flip over the top rope, rolls through with it with Chris Sabin right into the Styles Clash for the finish. I can still picture it in my head. And that was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Who the hell is AJ Styles?
Yep.
And the very first match that I came up with back in those LimeWire days was a
LimeWire days. I'm dating myself. Yeah.
I know, dude. I'm dating myself left and right. The first match that came up is CM Punk versus AJ Styles, and CM Punk matched more of my aesthetic at the time. I was very much a broke punk rock kid, you know, very much into that scene. And then just seeing CM Punk, and immediately, as soon as he threw up the X on his hands, I was like, oh, he's straight edge. Like, without him even having to say anything, I was already in tune with that culture.
Right.
And so through AJ Styles, I found CM Punk. And through CM Punk, I found the entire Ring of Honor. And so CM Punk, as unpopular as it may seem nowadays, CM Punk will always be on my top list just because of how influential he was in opening my eyes to a whole, there's more than the WWE.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I collect wrestling toys, wrestling figurines and stuff like that.
And
man, that is the one that I'm looking for, is the CM Punk AEW figure, because he's not with them anymore. So will he ever be with them again? If not, this could be the last figure that happens. You know, I kind of try to do that. I try to think about it like that. You know, I have a Jeff Hardy over here behind me, and it's the last figure that they came out with for him before he jumped ship and went to AEW. So it's like, are they going to come out with any more of him for a while? So, you know, maybe this will be worth something. And I can totally understand the CM Punk thing. You know, I mean, whenever my first introduction to him was probably, it was the new brand of ECW that WWE did that was, we'll just go ahead and say it was crappy. You know, it was horrible. But that's where I first saw him, and I immediately was like, this is my dude. I like him, you know? And I was a fan of him throughout the entire time he was in WWE as well. And, you know, so I totally get it, man. CM Punk, he has done a lot of good things for a lot of people in the business.
I will super cringe myself on this one. I'm not a big figurine collector, but I know a lot of people that are.
Yeah.
So I'm not always in the loop. But if AEW ever made a figurine of CM Punk where he's wearing the white and black basketball shorts that he wore for the dog collar match.
Yeah,
which was a straight, you know, as they explained it on commentary, but as a super mark at that, you know, I picked it up from the beginning. As soon as the music kind of hit, I was like, no way, he's doing his Ring of Honor entrance. If they ever came out with that figurine, that might be one that I would be like, okay,
yeah,
I want that one.
That.
But then cringing myself even more, I remember. I was such a super fan that I was like, I was in like the forums of like the dirt sheet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I remember that I wrote like this entire like article, you know, about how I'm going to say this out loud, but if in like a day or two, I'm like, hey man, cut that bit. So I wrote this entire article about how CM Punk could be the next Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to read that.
Because, yeah, no, absolutely not. But like, because, you know, he's doing the whole straight edge gimmick. Right. You know, I'm drug free. I'm smoke free. I'm alcohol free.
Yeah.
And he was doing it as a baby face. And I was like, dude, if you spin this the right way, that's the new take your vitamins and say your prayers.
Right. Yep. I can see that.
13-year-old Nate was very behind it, okay? Very passionate about it. But yeah, CM Punk will always, no matter, you know, they say don't meet your heroes because you might be disappointed.
Right.
And if that's from what you read and hear and whatnot, that always sounds like that would be one of those possibles. Like, maybe you don't want to meet him. He kind of, you know, rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, you know, to me, that's just like kind of one of those, you don't know the whole story.
Right.
We don't know the whole story. We weren't there.
We probably never will know the whole story.
Ain't that the truth, man? That between that and the screw job and everything, we'll never know the full true stories.
Yep.
So to me, there's no point in passing judgment on this person that maybe I do, maybe I don't meet. But you know, CM Punk, I'll go on record and say that CM Punk's in the top three, just about always.
Okay. All right. So what are some of the goals that you have set for this next year?
Well, the first one is obviously come back healthy and strong and 100%. A more personal goal is I've got some unfinished business with a certain pound for pound champion in Haas Holding. And Haas and I have a very long history with each other. And we have had many battles. And one of my goals, one of my main focuses this year is to reclaim my pound for pound title from Haas Holding and to really put an ending, an exclamation point on that feud and that story. And then as far as like a non-personal but wrestling related goal is to really, and I've focused on this one a lot these past couple of weeks, you know, being down, but that's really growing the Dog Pound brand as not just a promotion, but as a school as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, that's very, very important to me just because of everything that Rodney and Jazz have done and helped me with.
Right.
And so whatever I can do within my power to push their brand, to push their product, is what I'm very, very, very focused on this year, especially while I'm down and injured, you know? So that is very much on my high priority list. I mean, probably goal number two, really.
Yeah.
Besides getting back my pound for pound title, obviously the Grayson family would love to expand out this year and get our name and our message across more state lines into more professional wrestling communities. And we've got our eyes set on the East Coast and the Northeast Coast for hopefully over the summer or maybe into the early fall. We would really like to get up into that Northeast area and see if everything that has been said about the Northeast area is all it's cracked up to be.
All right, man. Well, I love it. And I hope that you're able to reach all those goals, and that will be awesome to see. So if people want to follow you, how can they do that?
So you can follow me on Twitter. At my handle is at Nasty Nate Nasty. And that's Nate spelled N8.
Okay.
So it's Nasty N8 Nasty. You can also follow me on Instagram as just Nathaniel Grayson, one word. And then you can also follow me on Facebook under Nathaniel Grayson as well. And then the best place to see any of my matches or promos or anything like that is definitely going to be the Dog Pound Championship Wrestling YouTube page.
All right.
And also the Dog Pound Championship Wrestling Facebook page as well. And if anybody listening to this is interested in looking for a place to train, no matter your experience level, whether you've been doing this for no years or doing this for 13 years, there's no other place that I could recommend other than the Dog Pound Pro Wrestling Dojo in San Antonio, Texas. And you can find all their information on Facebook as well.
All right. That's awesome, man. Is there any last words that maybe you want to say to your fans before I get you off of here?
For the wonderful fellowship of the Grayson family, the extended members, I know that the past 3 months have been hard without us. And I want you all to know from the deepest part of my heart that I apologize for leaving y'all stranded, lost, and alone. But I don't want any of our family members to be misconstrued. A purge is coming in 2023. And every day we inch closer to it. And for those that are listening that are fans and want to be a part of the fellowship, you are more than welcome and invited along for the ride. And for those that are listening that may disagree with us, tread lightly.
All right, man. Well, it has been great having you on here. I've really enjoyed talking with you. We've covered a lot of different stuff tonight, but I do think I am going to try to set something up to get you to come back on here. That way we can talk some more, because I feel like we could have some pretty good conversations.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And so now I know that this is where things kind of switch, but let me ask you a question, Jared.
Okay.
So we've been talking now for about, what, an hour or so, give or take?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's safe to say that at the next Ozark Mountain Wrestling event, we can expect to see you in full support of the Grayson family, no?
For sure, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hold you to that.
All right.
Because if not, you let the big mountain man into your home abode. And therefore, that address is, you know,
yeah,
can be gotten.
Yeah, that's true. All right, man. Well, you have a wonderful night, and I will talk to you next time, okay?
Thank you very much for having me on, Jared. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night.
Good night, boss.
Hi everyone, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Dawn.
And if you've ever watched a TV show and thought to yourself, oh my god, that season finale plot twist was absolutely bonkers.
Or seen a movie and thought, wow, I need to talk to somebody about this train wreck immediately.
Then we think you'll fit right in with our podcast, I Hate It, Let's Watch It. We watch TV shows like Riverdale and Emily in Paris.
And movies like Deep Water, Killer Sofa, Rubber, and Deadly Illusions. And we give them the total rinsing they deserve.
It's basically group therapy for movie masochists. So come check us out wherever you stream podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is the Showcase, Alex Royal, brand new host of When This Microphone Hits My Mouth. You get the idea. We're going to be bringing you guys new episodes every single week, keeping the same popular style format that we had on What Can You Offer, my other podcast with John Cross. Be sure to check that one out, because every once in a while you might see another special episode, and you never know, John might cameo on this one every once in a while. But we're going to bring you unique perspectives on all things Oklahoma wrestling, pop culture, entertainment, podcast, and really, honestly, just anything that pops up. We're just going to have a free-for-all, have conversations, have guests, and have a grand old time. So be sure to check us out every single week. The goal is to have a new episode drop every single Friday, so you, yourself, your friends, and everybody else listening to this right here can check us out. Be sure to check back.
A yabba dabba doo. This is a Cat's Pajamas, aka Cat's PJs, and I'm the host of Cat's Pajamas radio show. Well, what is it that I got at the radio show, you may ask? I've got everything from live interviews with various people, from wrestling to bands and musicians and artists and artist collectives. We talk all things conspiracies, scary stories, and fun random music facts. You can check me out on Spotify at Cat's Pajamas Radio Show. Got a really killer playlist for all of you as well. Or you can find me on Instagram, Cat's Pajamas 123. So I hope y'all go ahead and give that a listen. And a special thanks to IfYouGiveA.podcast for putting me on. Much love. Appreciate it.
Alright, everybody, I hope that you enjoyed that episode with Nathaniel Grayson. He was a great guest, and I am going to have him back on here pretty soon to talk about some of the other things that we didn't get around to talking about. Be sure to tune in for that, and let me know what you thought of this episode. You can go out and rate it, review it, wherever you're listening at. That way I know what you think of it, and if you think I should continue doing episodes like this. So I've got some really cool guests that are coming up over the next few weeks. Right now I have two more that I have pre-recorded that will be coming out after this one. And one of them is with Burt Cameron and the other one is with Tommy Dean. So be looking for those episodes. I will be announcing who is coming on and what's going on over the next few weeks on my social media. So make sure that you are following me on all those places. And if you want to do that, you can do so by following me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Hive or Snapchat or TikTok. I'm starting to put little things out there too as well. Hopefully I'll be getting some video up here pretty soon and not just little advertisements and goofy stuff. But if you want to follow me on Facebook, that is at IYGADAP, or you can just look up If You Give a Dad a Podcast. But IGADAP, the acronym for If You Give a Dad a Podcast, is the actual at for Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram, and that's at Give a Dad a Podcast. You can find me on Hive and Twitter, like I said, and they're both at dadpodcast11. And then on TikTok and Snapchat, I believe that it is the IGADAP as well to follow me on those. So yeah, make sure that you're following me on that stuff. That way you can stay up to date with what's going on. I actually got to interact with a few people over the last few days because this week was Royal Rumble week. As I'm recording this bit, it is Sunday, January 29th. So the Royal Rumble just happened last night. A lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. Asked everybody, you know, what they would have rated the Royal Rumble as a whole, you know, and I got all kinds of answers and everything. And I think for me, I would give it a solid 3. If you do a 1 to 5 rating, I would give it a solid 3. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't that great either. I mean, it was pretty predictable in my opinion, but I was still thoroughly entertained whenever I did watch it. So, you know, it was a Royal Rumble. That's my favorite pay-per-view of the year, so I had a really good time watching it. So, yeah, like I said, follow me on the social medias. That way you can keep up to date with everything and maybe catch a conversation with me. You can also send me an email, and that's giveadadapodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Brings a smile to my face when I do hear from you. I've had another podcast that I've been talking with that he listens to the show quite a bit, and I look forward to maybe doing a joint episode with him here in the near future. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. I'll be advertising for it when we do eventually get to do that. So, lots of fun things coming up. I've got some great guests that I'm kind of shocked that I was able to get them myself. So, big things are happening in 2023 for If You Give a Dad a Podcast. And you'll see what I'm saying. I just don't want to say anything yet, just in case something happens and it falls through. And I don't want to get people's hopes up. And I don't want to get my hopes up any more than they already are. So, but it should be great stuff coming your way. And I think that you all are really going to enjoy what you hear. If you guys want a t-shirt, you can always go to Shirtcasters. I have the links up for two different shirts that are on Shirtcasters. It's in the show notes. It's also on my social media pages as well, if you want to go and look those up. I will be having more merch coming soon. I'm going to have coffee mugs and maybe a few other things as well. I'd like to maybe do some stickers. I don't know, just some different things. So tell me what you guys would like to see. If there's a certain thing that you would like for me to get for merch, let me know. Maybe even if you want to send in a design that you would like to see, I would love to see some of the designs that you guys come up with for the show. So yeah, hit me up, let me know, and I look forward to hearing from you guys. Told you, send me an email, send me a message on any of the social medias, and we'll get something worked out. I want to give a shout out to my podcast network, the OIW Podcast Network. Those guys have been great. They have many, many good shows that you can listen to. When you're not listening to mine, go on there, and they have just about everything you could think of to listen to on there as well. It's a great time. Lots of great podcasts, lots of great content. Look them up, and that's OIW Podcast Network. I will have a link to them in my show notes. Also, I want to give a shout out to D-Cure for creating my ending theme song for If You Give a Dad a Podcast for me. He is an awesome guy, and like I've said before, he is a monster when it comes to creating music. He had a new song that just dropped like a day or so ago, and he has an album that's dropping next month. And I can't wait to hear it. Everything that I'm hearing come from him has been great. But I'll have links to his website and everything in my show notes as well. But I just wanted to say thank you for him creating that theme song for me. I love it. I kind of sing along to it whenever I do hear it because it just makes me smile. So it is, like I said, January 29th, and the Chiefs are playing the Bengals here in just a little while. So I am going to turn this off so I can get ready to go eat some wings and watch the AFC Championships. I love you guys. I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
On. He calls us beautiful people, then tells us who we have on. The best part of my day, though we're blocked out in my pods. Tell my friends all about it so that they follow along. And the host is kind of nerdy, but guess what, I am as well. I don't feel so alone, and I began walking out of my shell. Heard a story, I need a connection I haven't felt. I'll be looking for the next one, tell then farewell. It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. Listen closely, download and tune in remotely. It's the podcast for me. Have it on, better go see. And listen closely, download and tune in remotely.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.